The World Health Organization reports 3 new confirmed cases of the disease Ebola in Guinea in the week ending October 18th. The WHO says since the beginning of the current Ebola outbreak, there have been a total of 28,476 reported cases in Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, with 11,298 reported deaths to that date. Dr. John Dye is the chief of the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases Viral Immunology Branch, and he's been involved in the development of biovirus vaccines and therapeutics. And he joins us now on the line. Welcome, doctor.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Excellent.
First of all, can you give us an update on the war against Ebola? Are you winning?
I don't know if it's a win and lose situation. We're trying to keep up. With this current outbreak in Western Africa, in 2 of the countries, they haven't had a reported case in at least a month, so that's a great sign. There are still cases in Guinea, and we're still battling, let's just put it that way.
Well, how are you approaching your research? What are you looking into?
So I work at the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, which is USAMRID, and that's a mouthful, I know. And for the last several decades, and myself for the last decade, we've been looking at developing vaccines and treatments for Ebola virus and other pathogens of interest that could potentially cause pandemics. So in the past 10 years, we've developed multiple vaccines that we have taken through small animal models and moved them into monkeys, seen protection, and now some of those vaccines that we've been developing at USAMRID and testing are actually being assessed in Western Africa. So there are multiple vaccines that are currently in West Africa being implemented by Merck and Janssen to see if there is any efficacy. On top of that, we've also been trying to develop therapeutics, monoclonal antibodies, and drugs to actually combat the virus, which are currently being investigated as well. So there's a lot going on right now with the therapeutic and vaccine front with Ebola.
So for the layman, does that mean we're pretty close maybe to finding something to help here?
I think we are close. I think we have things in our cabinet that could be effective. The thing about this outbreak is, as you just mentioned, the number of people that were infected and the number of people that succumbed to the disease. Ebola has been around long before 1976, but we first learned about it in 1976. And prior to this outbreak of Ebola, there's only been about 20 outbreaks that have occurred. And we're talking about a total of 3,000 to 5,000 people that have been infected. So we haven't had a lot of people to look at to see if vaccines or treatments actually would be efficacious. So a silver lining, if you want to look at it that way, from this outbreak is we have a lot of people to look at. We have a large number of people that were infected and survived. So we actually have a way of trying to assess whether these vaccines or therapeutics work.
Doctor, Ebola is so infectious and deadly. You must have to be very careful in your research.
Yes, ma'am. So it's not something that we just bring someone off the streets and pull them in and throw them into a high containment suite. So I personally have gone through years of training with mentors and experts to develop my technique to be able to be safe working with these viruses and bacteria, as do all of my comrades here at USAMRID. And when we bring someone in, they become part of the team, and you really have to develop a trust when you're working side by side with these individuals in a high containment suite. So training and trust are the two T's that I talk about when I talk about how we go forward working with these viruses and bacteria.
I can remember that when we first started talking about Ebola, there were so many people who were scared that this was going to go all over the world, that it was going to spread because there was no way to stop it. What is your feeling about that?
So I think we worry about viruses and bacteria becoming pandemics, spreading all over the world. This was an epidemic. It spread into multiple countries in Western Africa. Honestly, Ebola isn't really that good, if you want to put quotation marks, of a virus when it comes to what it's supposed to do, because it actually kills its host. A virus isn't actually very good, if you speak in that manner, when it actually kills the organism that it's using to spread itself. So a virus is basically genetic material encapsulated in an envelope, and it uses your or my cells within our body to produce more copies of itself. And so if it kills the person or the cells that it's using to actually spread itself, it's really not that good. So Ebola and viruses, hemorrhagic fever viruses like this, they tend to burn out rather quickly. This was a very different case in Western Africa, and we can discuss that later if you'd like. But so it's not that great a virus when it comes to that. So I wasn't concerned about it becoming a pandemic, per se, spreading all over the world. But we now live in an age with globalization and transportation, which is at an all-time high, where you have the ability to jump on a plane and be anywhere in 8 to 12 hours. So there's a latency period, or a period where the virus is ramping up production in the person or the animal that is infected. So you don't really know you're infected, and then maybe you hop on a plane, you head to London, you head to New York, you head to Dallas, Texas, which is exactly what happened in the U.S., and you potentially have a possibility where you could get a spread into different countries.
And you mentioned Africa.
I did. So there's a great concern of it spreading within Africa. The reason why is because the infrastructure of the health systems in these nations in all over Africa is inferior when you compare it to the infrastructure in more developed nations. And that's just a fact. So the ability to basically understand, isolate, and quarantine patients who potentially have this is somewhat restricted in these countries. So you have a greater chance of it spreading within these countries before it's actually come into check.
Trying to stop Ebola is very noble, no matter who you work for, but why is the U.S. Army so particularly interested in this?
That's a great question. So I work for the U.S. Army Department of Defense. I'm a U.S. government employee. And the reason why the U.S. Army is interested in this is we are always concerned that we'll have to send service members and service member families into regions where this particular virus or other viruses and bacteria of this nature are present. So there's that possibility. And then actually, if you look back in history and read books, in the 1980s, it was known before the fall of the Iron Curtain that the Russians were actually weaponizing virus like this. So we have a biothreat component that we're also interested in combating in case there was that, in case that happened.
Thank you very much, Doctor, for taking the time to speak with us. Dr. John Dye is featured in the National Geographic show Breakthrough, which premiered on Sunday, November the 1st, and will be running for several weeks.